Oh, I'm back. I have not asked anybody to run the meeting because I'll be running the meeting, but the format's not going to change. Still your discussion. I have one thing I'm going to share with you. I want to give everybody my peace, and let's open in prayer first. Kind Father, we come before you first, and we want to bring our thanks for allowing us to be in your house this morning to hear your word. Receive sacrament. These are things that sometimes we take for granted. And then when we're able to experience them, they spark our heart, they increase our, and they fill our heart with joy. To hear the word this morning, Father, to understand that we are supposed to live our lives justly, as the Ten Commandments state. And sometimes, as we've heard in this world, things do not go that way, and that everything is okay, and everything's acceptable. In this evening hour, Father, you'll bring out many things in your message. And we too, is now that we're back, we are concerned about our guardians, and we pray for their fellow, their health and their well-being, but mostly, Father, their spiritual depth, that you will increase that. And through this evening hour's meeting, Father, and as the others meetings that we've had, they cultivate, Father, some thoughts and feelings in our hearts. They reawaken some gifts that you placed inside of us, and that, Father, we can be active and get the things done that you want us to do. We've missed everybody. We feel that we've been cut off from them. And we appreciate their patience and their prayers and their support in this time where we need a little time to inner reflect on ourselves, to figure out what's going on with ourselves, if we can be a better person. And we're thankful, Father, for your blessing that helped us to get to that point. Provide your peace for everyone who's on the call and connect those who are not with their hearts. We pray for our fellow guardians and their needs, that everybody has what they need in their life, you know, the businesses that some of the guardians have, that you'll bless them, that they can grow, and that everybody has what they need to have their daily bread and support their family. And we're thankful, Father, for this time that we can spend together. It's just an hour a month, but it means so much to all of us, and it's because of you that we do this. And you now draw us closer to you and HS and Jesus. And if I've forgotten something, I know you'll cover it. And thank you, Father, for all you do. We love you. According to your will, we ask. Amen.
Amen.
I want to start off first by saying again, thank you to everybody for your support and your prayers and your emails that you sent me during this time. Month than I thought I would be.
Losing.
Vice Jimmer. Frozen.
I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And then when I realized that I had
You
created
were
this.
frozen for a minute. We missed some of
Yeah,
that.
we missed everything. Yeah, sorry, you froze.
Oh. I wanted to say that I was not meditating as much as I could be, as much as I harp on all of you to make sure you're meditating every day and doing something. I did not. And because of that, I created a huge void between Father and I. And I could always see him there, and he would encourage me to come to him. But sometimes it was difficult for me to do that. And I had a lot of anger and rage and frustration and pain about things from my past and different things like that. And Father let me be me. He let me be Jim. I got a lot off my chest with him. And it was only actually through meditation that I was able to get past some of the things. The ironic thing is that my doctor put me on two different antidepressant medications, and they gave me such horrible side effects that I couldn't take them. And I'm originally on the same medication I was on 6 months ago, but I'm doing so much better. So meditation works, my dear friends. And I know that sometimes life gets in the way, and we tell ourselves, I'll get it tomorrow when I have more time. I'll get it tomorrow when I have more time. There is no more time. You and I are now in the most critical part of our lives and Father's plan. I'm just going to share that with you because he's not going to bring it out tonight, but I will. There is no more time anymore for us to think that we have plenty more time and that the team doesn't really matter, and that I don't matter, and that I can't really contribute to this team because I'm not like this guardian. I don't have that gift, so I really don't matter. And that's all Satan talking to you. His biggest joy would be for us to just disband and be done with this entire crazy plan that Father's given you and I, right? Because it doesn't make any sense. But we're all aware of that. It doesn't make any sense. But in our hearts, we've all had experiences and we all know the truth of what Father has given you and I above anybody else in this world. And we know it's a huge relationship. And I'm not going to start preaching to you, even though I just started. That was not my intention. Okay, so I want to say thank you. I love all of you. I missed all of you. It's great to see your faces, even Fred's lion face. I still know what he looks like. And I'm thankful for all of you very much. So let me read Father's message to you. Father said, "My dear guardians, a warm welcome back to my message. The meeting format will not change that much. This is your meeting, not Trilands. I will continue to give you a small message, and then your open discussion can ensue. I am so very proud of how all of you have mostly been participating. I say mostly because it seems it is always the same guardian sharing their experiences or posing questions. Are you others not interested in participating? Do you not have experiences? If you are not, then you are not being active. Triland will introduce to you a small change in the format for the upcoming meetings this evening. His wish is that every guardian participates and helps build the team together. You are not on an island all by yourself, although some of you may feel that way. If you do, have you reached out to your fellow guardian for help? Please do. Triland is now back. Reach out to him. He is now stronger than ever before. I have given him much strength to share with all of you. I ask that all of you focus." Oops, I went too far. Sorry, my finger slipped. "I ask that all of you focus now on each other. Build those family relationships with each other. Are you not brothers and sisters in this guardianship? Yes, you are. Not one of you is the same. All of you have different gifts and see life in a uniquely different light. Share your gifts with each other. When you do this, you will learn more about your gifts because you are using them. Be more open with each other. Share your joys and sorrows. Together, you will conquer this world and all the evil in it. You will grow into the guardians that I have seen you become before time began. Focus on your meditation. All of you have been lacking in this. This is why you are not having any experiences. Stop focusing so much on your earthly life and focus on the spiritual side. Help with the countries. Only but a handful of you are. All of you can do this. When you open yourself up, you will then experience so many wonderful things. Your life will not feel empty, and will not feel empty, and that you really do not matter in the grand scheme of things. All of you matter, all of you. For some time now, some of you have been drifting away from me. I am here for you. Meditate and come back to me. I am fully aware of what is taking place within our church. I know you feel at times that divine services are empty of life. And what is the point of attending? You must attend. You are my guardians. You are an extension of my hand. Have you prayed for the servants the week before the service? Have you asked me for something? I will give it to you in the service. Seek and find. Together, you and the servants will help bring the bride home. It seems as of late that it is you against the brothers. Please stop this way of thinking. Many of the brothers and now sisters that serve are not in as tune as you are. They are like lost babies. Your prayers will help them focus more. Once again, know that your father, brothers, and HS love you very much." Any questions, any comments, any thoughts? Any solutions? Any joy? Any happiness?
I can tell you that that was spot on.
Hers answered.
And, Diane, I wish you and I could have talked about the service today. I hate to hear myself talk like this, but there was so much more that could have been served. We need to pray hard for our brothers who serve and sisters when that's happening. That's all I have to say.
I've been praying all week for our service. We were in Wyoming, which is probably the first time we've actually been in a live service in months, I'm ashamed to say. And I was aware of the fact that the rector there sometimes uses a ton of Bible scriptures instead of just letting the Holy Spirit talk. And today he only used two. And I pleaded with Father all week. And I said, please don't let him get in the way of the word. Open his heart. And we had a beautiful service today.
Beautiful. Thank you.
And I get emotional because we've been starving. You know, we listen online and we listen to the different services and we read the periodicals. But it's not the same as the living word that Father has for us. And even when the brothers are in the way, there still is always something there. And today it really felt nice to be home. You know, and Father was standing in the front and he looked at Jesus and he went and he goes, do we even know these two? Can you remember who they are? Yeah. It's good to be home.
That communion tasted good.
It did.
So this morning, in the blessing the apostle gave me as he was ordaining me, he said, be a warrior, be a defender of the faith, protect the souls, and fight for proclaiming the name of God, proclaiming the gospel. And so it wasn't like a reordination. I mean, it wasn't a reinstatement. He ordained me. And as I was kneeling before the apostle, I could feel Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit standing right behind me. And they had their hands on me. And I was shaking like a leaf. And unfortunately, the transmission didn't go through, so I tried to send you guys the service, but I guess we're going to have to download it and send it back up. But it was really neat what the apostle gave in that blessing.
Congratulations, Priest Blazar.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
I will share with you at the end of the meeting what the new format's going to be, because I don't want to get in the way, but it's your discussion. It's open. I have been listening to every single meeting over these months, so I haven't missed anything. And it made me smile when everybody would contribute and everybody would throw their 2 cents in. So let's keep doing that. So go.
I do have something to share. So I have always had trouble seeing. And the last little while I've been praying that our Heavenly Father would, that I would become what he would want me to become. And so for the last few months, I've been seeing while I'm sleeping. And I know that I'm going to realms. I guess maybe it was about a month ago, I had a retired district evangelist. He used to be our rector. He was one of the pioneers of the Toronto Central Congregation. He was my confirmation teacher, and you know, we were very close. And he came up to me, and every time I'm in this vision that I have, I'm always in, it's like a house, but I'm always in a different house, and there's always lots of people there. And so he came up to me and he said, "I really need your help." And I just knew that I was helping in that particular realm. And a couple of nights ago, the Apostle Schwartzer, now he passed away the beginning of the 1990s, he came to me. And he came like right up to me face to face, and he didn't say anything. But where he was, that realm was, it was dark. It was almost like twilight. I felt a little bit uncomfortable. But each time I know it sounds crazy, but I know that you'll understand. I just know that I'm helping.
What sounds crazy in this one?
I know. So for me, I realize now that I'm coming into that gift. And since I can't see it when I'm awake, I see when I'm asleep, which is really nice and really special. And the other little incident that I had, I had a call from Priest Krause, who was our rector. And Priest Krause is actually District Apostle Krause's grandson. He's our rector in Cambridge. And he called me up and he said, "You know, Susan, I would really like to come and visit you and Tom. I haven't seen you." He was just made our rector maybe about a year ago. He says, "I feel so badly that we haven't come to visit you, so I'd like to come." So I said, "Okay, what day would you like to come?" He said, "I'd like to come on Tuesday." I said, "Okay, we look forward to it." What he didn't know, well, I didn't know that he didn't know. Well, I'll just keep going. So he knocks on the door, and I answer it, and he says, "Hi." And I says, "Hi, are you here for a special reason?" And he says, "No, just here to visit. Why? Is there something special?" I said, "It's my birthday." And so for me, and he says, "Oh, I feel so badly. And oh, I should have checked the list." And I said to him, "You know what? It just shows that our Heavenly Father sent you to wish me a happy birthday." I said, "You were prompted by the Holy Spirit. You followed through and you came to see me. And that's the best gift of all." So for me, it was like a, I don't know, it was like, it was almost like a warm hug, even though he felt badly. We had a very nice conversation because he really didn't know Tom and I that well. And I just felt so good afterwards, but especially that he came not knowing that it was my birthday, and it was on that particular day that he decided to visit me. So very nice experiences.
Nice.
Great.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, for sure. It really was. We really were happy about it.
So last team meeting, I was with my daughter, and we were at a music festival, and it was held at a where they filmed the Shawshank Redemption in that prison in Ohio. And that Saturday, Mariana and I did the tour through the prison. That prison was opened in 1860. So it looks like a fortress. And we walked through it, and it was actually going into one of the, it was like going into the realm, one of those bad realms, but I was awake. And the sorrow and the sadness and the distress and the despair was so prevailing. I pogged that whole place. Because they like to talk about how it's haunted. You know, and I was going through it. I thought of the conditions of the souls in eternity. And it was manifested in this prison that it was so dark. There's places that sunlight doesn't hit. It's just you. I'm pretty sure it was candlelight, and then it was just electric light. And in the 60s, they had a big fire in there. And 400 men died. And instead of trying to get the prisoners out, they grabbed a militia, and they grabbed machine guns, and they wanted to keep all the prisoners in, and they took a soul back inside, and some inmate, no, don't let the dogs out because of the chickens. Or a guard to get the key, the master key, to open up these cells. And so there were prisoners that had keys and would release these prison or gate doors open.
There were some that, you know, they
burned alive in that place. And
it was just horrible. And there was some solitary confinement.
Hey, Blazar, you're muffled. We can't understand you. You were really muffled. We couldn't understand everything that you said.
Can't hear us. Can you hear?
These little doors. I can hear everybody. Am I?
Keep cutting in and out. Again.
Yeah. We didn't hear anything after the 400. You said something about 400 prisoners. And
all right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Hang on. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And so there were these doors. They were probably about 2 feet tall, you know, and someone goes, what are those doors for? And I'm like, well, maybe it's for the little prisoners, you know? And I went in to look what it was, and it was, there was a chair there, and it was solitary confinement. There's no... It's all brick, and the door is steel, you know, and that's where they would throw the prisoners in when they misbehaved. And they actually had valves for the water and the electricity that whenever they would misbehave, they'd shut everything down, and they would let the prisoners go for like weeks without any running water or light.
Oh, it's terrible.
And there was this other section that was, it was the weirdest thing, but it was like a solitary confinement. But it was all in German that had the like stickers on there. And it was in German. And it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. I never understood why it was in German, but it was just horrible, horrible place, you know. And you think of, I thought it had, of how these people ended up in such a horrible place. It's just something unbelievable. It's very sad. That's it.
Anybody got an ale?
Yeah.
Evening. Hello.
Atmos, you're muffled.
That's a lot. Me and a lot. I'm gonna smack it in this wall.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
There perfect. You go.
Okay. So this is the first time I've run into this. I just wanted to let everybody know because it's, for me, it was new. It may not be new for you, but it was for me. We had a soul here in the home, in our new home, and it was kind of off in the corner. I always felt that there was something there, but, you know, you get A, complacent, and B, you just, life happens, right? And it's like, yeah, I got to do something about that. You just never do. So a couple weeks back, I finally did. What's that?
Your connection is bad. We're not hearing anything. You freeze up and then we don't hear anything.
We heard you, Jeremy.
No, I can hear you.
Did you? Well, then we suck.
No. Just froze.
All right. So long story short, we had a soul in the house. It was a little girl, about 8 years old. And she was cloaked in a demon. Mm. And so this demon made himself look just like her. So it was kind of like he was reflecting her image. And I knew that it was a demon when I came up to her and kind of started talking to her a little bit. And she just freaked out on me. She was really upset that I didn't help her. She knew that all these people, she saw the boys, you know, being loved on and having a great family, which she never had the opportunity. And the demon took that little piece of anger and amplified it. So it was almost like a loudspeaker. And she looked at me and she goes, "Why didn't you help me?" And I was like, "Okay, chill out. What's going on here?" And that was when I realized what was going on, and I was able to basically pull the demon off like a cloak, took him away from her, and kind of did away with him, and then came back to her, and she was right as rain. You know, just the nicest, sweetest little girl, 8-year-old girl you can imagine. She had red hair, and her name was Rose. She was alive during the 19th century. Middle of the 19th century down here, and her mother died and her dad sold her, and so she died at the age of 8. It was not a great life for her, but yet she still was very, very bright and beautiful. And Jesus came, and I asked Jesus to come because I didn't know what to do. I'm like, this is crazy. I've never dealt with anything like this. So he came and I introduced her to him. And then he immediately took her to Father and introduced her to Father. And then Father, and then Jesus said, he said exactly what he said while he was on the cross. He said, "I tell you today that you will be with me in paradise." And he took her back to paradise. And so he allowed her to skip over all the crap and go straight to paradise. So I thought that was really cool. Things have felt a lot lighter in the house after that's happened. But I thought that was A, really sneaky of Satan and horrible, obviously, but B, just an amazing thing for Father to let her, just a gift to her.
And you.
Yeah, and for sure. Yeah.
And
us.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing experience.
Nice.
Hello, this is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I can't get my Zoom is not letting me put my screen on for some reason. I just finally got it to unmute. So I apologize for that. But I just thought I'd share just a quick little experience I had this last week. I was able to spend 3 days in the mountains with your sister, mm-hmm. with Lizzie, and with Shyla. And we had such a great time. But, you know, every time we would take turns praying, and it was my turn to pray for dinner one night, and I started praying and I just couldn't stop crying. And I finally got through my prayer and I looked up at Liz and Shyla and I said, all of our parents are here. And so we got to share a meal with all our parents. Well, my dad's alive and he's in Italy, but the rest of our parents.
Wonderful. Starlight and I had an experience a couple months ago. A little background on the person who contacted me. She is the crisis might know, maybe Diane remembers them. They're Paul and Val Leiter. They were our youth leaders back in the 80s, and they had a daughter. Their daughter's name is Carolyn, and Carolyn had Lexi. So Lexi, I got introduced to Lexi when she was probably 13 years old, and she was going with the wrong group and having demons, and we cleared her space and blah, blah, blah. I haven't talked to her for 10, 15 years, so out of the blue, she contacts me. I was in my funk at the time, so I pulled Starlight in with me. And she was complaining that there was things going on in her house, that it felt kind of like evil. There was a lot of noise going on in their attic, and there wasn't anybody up there. She just felt uncomfortable in her own house. They were having some nightmares.
The TV was turning on and off.
Yeah.
And lights on and off. And yeah, the whole.
So we went in, and I looked, and I found some evil. So I removed it. But then I asked Starlight to come in behind me because I wasn't my sharpest at that point. So she stepped in.
And
the ball is passed.
Well, he had said that he had cleared everything. And I was like, there's still something that's not right, not right, you know. Mm-hmm. And I kept on going to the attic. But I couldn't see anything. So then I went into the walls. There's like a obviously like the space between the walls, and it was just filled with demons and things. And then also through the ceiling, like the ceiling part where like the, what do you call them? The
sheathing.
Yes. Through all of that. Like, and she lives in a townhouse where it's all connected. So it wasn't necessarily coming from her, but it was coming from the other neighbors that were connected. So all the demons and things were coming through up in the attic space. And so we cleared all that, and basically I cemented it off basically, so they couldn't come through like the walls and things. And then things felt better for her, but then it was like a day or two later, things started happening again. And then she was wondering, because she has children, mm-hmm. and she was wondering if the kids were bringing something back from their dads, which we didn't. I was like, no, they're fine. And so, go, because you took over, I think, after that again.
Did I? Mm-hmm. I don't recall.
Oh, well, there was many times of back and forth and back and forth of clearing things and trying to figure things out. And each time it felt better, but then something else would happen. And this went on probably for a few weeks, it felt like. And then most recently, you were able to tell that.
She actually, a month ago, she contacted me and she said, it's happening again. My TV's turning on. and it's different kind of music. And my impression was it wasn't evil at this time. I felt it was a soul. And through a long conversation with her, we found out that she was a twin, and the twin passed. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think it's your sister. So she said, it kind of feels like it might be her. And I said, no, it is her. She needs your help. She wants your prayers, blah, blah, blah. So she stepped in and she started praying for her sister, and things got quiet. So I sent her a text this week. She says, I just feel something's off. And I said, how's it going? She goes, somebody's typing on my television and they're turning my TV on and off, and they're putting on TV shows and then turning them off. And I can't do it justice. So I'm going to just see if I can find the email, and I'll just read it, or the text, and I'll read it to you.
What brand of TV does she have? I don't want to buy that brand.
I know. I'll find out. She said, so they are calm at the moment, at least, but this time I tried not to be scared and just tried to figure out what and ask questions. Since I was getting answers typed out, the spelling was not perfect every time, but other times it was spelled perfectly. And I wrote everything it was showing on my screen on a piece of paper. So I figured out what they need. Using the search bar on the TV and playing the show Highway to Heaven. Find why in my fault.
We need to upgrade your internet.
Yeah, you're frozen, unless it's just us, but we can't hear you.
Love technology.
When it works.
Yeah.
Yo.
We said that so many times this morning while we were trying to get service broadcast. I love technology when it works.
Mm. Oh, we lost them completely.
That's the Satan's welcome back party.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry. We have a new internet that we're not super happy with, but it's the only one we can get in this building. So
read the text over again from the beginning, because you were cutting out.
All right. We have the video off, so hopefully it should help.
So far.
So I said, how are things going? She said, they are calm at the moment, at least, but this time I tried not to be scared and just tried to figure out what they were trying to tell me and ask questions, since I was getting answers typed out. The spelling was not perfect every time, but other times it was spelled perfectly. And I wrote everything it showed on my screen on a piece of paper so I could figure out what they needed to tell me. And oddly enough, it was using the search bar on my TV and playing different shows. But the very last activity that happened, it was mostly typing on the TV and playing the show Highway to Heaven. It also typed dead, find why, and my fault. Then I'm sorry, and said, no afraid, after I texted you about it again. Then I figured out that it was my Aunt Vicky, who I am named after because I asked the soul what their name was and what year they died, and it typed out 94 three times, which is the year she passed away. Then immediately after typed out Vic DK, and her name was Victoria Diane Kopeck.
Wow.
And the other thing that were typed the way were literal responses to questions I was asking, and it kept repeating sad dad. My grandpa is the one who found her. It was also strange because every time after she typed, the TV would shut off, then turn back on first. So I'm not sure if they needed the energy to respond and manipulate the electronics or not, but that's just my guess. So she sent me pictures. She took photos of them, and she's got what she said is actually here in the photos. And so I said, or then she continued, when it was directly typing in front of me, it did take everything in me to keep myself calm. but I just wanted to help them. And since you told me it wasn't anything bad, I started asking questions, and it blew my mind. It was giving me answers. I tried to get more pictures, but it would shut off after every typing thing, and I couldn't get the picture of all the things it was saying. This whole thing has been hard to wrap my mind around. She said, thank you. Like I said, it blew my mind that a soul could figure out how to type things out and that intelligent and be able to manipulate a TV. It made no scientific sense, whatever. Not that the rest of the things that have happened do, LOL. I said, you're right. She said, also one more quick thing before it was typing and was just turning on shows, and it turned on things about the same three things every time: airlines, cops, and true crime. And I figured out it was because she was trying to tell me who she was. And my grandpa was a police officer, and my grandmother worked for an airline company. So it had given me a lot of clues, which is even more crazier. I'm doing the best I can to stay calm in those situations and will keep meditating. I sent her the link to my website, and she taught herself how to meditate with my recordings.
Wow.
Nice.
She said, my faith has definitely become very strong again since all of this happened a few months ago. I can't thank you enough for all you've done. Blah, 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 blah. Thank you so much. So I thought that was a neat experience because I really haven't heard. I mean, we've seen on movies where souls manipulate, right, but to have it really happen, pretty awesome. And she had stopped going to a long time ago. And I thought it was kind of ironic that out of the blue, she contacted me and remembered that I helped her when she was a kid. It's just bothering out that guy. Because I told her originally when we had our first conversation, I said, you're new apostolic, have you been going to church? And she said, no. I said, well, this is why. I said, he's trying to get your attention. So welcome back to the team. She laughed, and she actually now watches online. And that's a step, a huge step for her. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It looked like a cup of beer. Is that a cup of beer? What are you drinking?
No, it's water.
Oh, I thought it was yellow.
You've been drinking for Lent.
Yeah,
if we can drink during the meetings, I'm going to start. Okay.
I have it in a little sweat thing.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it doesn't stain the desk.
You know, I got my flask here if I need it, you know.
Yeah.
If the meeting gets too crazy. Hey, I want to share something.
Go ahead, John. Tressus.
Oh, okay. I obviously we know about prayer and what we've been told over the years, but it was interesting. Father told this to me a couple of months ago, and I found the notes again on it. It's been bugging me, but I'm going to read to you what he helped me type out. And I just titled it, When You Pray. When you pray, you're doing more than just praying to a deity and hoping he flips the right switches. You are actually creating energy. Words are creation. You're creating energy. When you pray, that energy from your space goes into the person's space that you are praying for. The combined energy of everyone praying for one individual or for one situation can actually change that situation. Of course, Father does influence when he can, but when we pray, we are creating an energy that will change a situation. Yeah.
That's nice.
Beautiful. Because when we've all heard about feeling the prayers, right? And I can tell when people pray, and when I was hurt, you know, so I wanted to find it because I want to say something last minute. I couldn't find the notes, but I thought that was pretty interesting. So, I mean, obviously, you know, the prayer army, right? We've been taught, and even doctors found that when people are prayed for, they get better more quickly. Mm-hmm. And in some situations, there's nothing that prayer can do. But we all have been in those situations where we can feel an energy around us. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That's amazing.
In that vein, I got contacted by Sarah Nasser, who is a Muslim friend of Cindy, my sister, but she did Lauren's makeup and hair for our wedding. And she's had a lot of issues, and I've stepped in and tried to help her out numerous times. This week, she contacted me that a friend of her nephew's is in the hospital and he's sick, and the doctors can't figure out what's wrong with him. So she said, is it possible for you to go look in his space to see if there's something there? So I did. And I did find things, and I removed them. I haven't heard anything back from her. I texted her before the meeting asking how he was, and she says she hasn't heard anything, but I'll let everybody know how it goes. But sometimes when it's a situation medically, it's not always a physical thing, which we're aware. So I'll keep you up to speed with what happens there. So I would ask you to pray for him, if you could, too. I'll give you his name.
Yeah.
Zayan, Z-A-Y-Y-A-N, Zayan. Please remember him. Anybody else got stuff? Come on.
I have a quick question. Why would Father allow a soul to use a TV to communicate? Is it just simply to straighten her out and try to get her back? Is that his way of getting her back on the straight and narrow? Gosh, it's just, I know this is going to sound silly, but it just seems so odd. I mean, you see it on TV all the time. And after all the crap we've all been through, it just seems odd.
The ironic thing is months ago is when she contacted us about her demonic problem. That already sparked her faith with Father, because then she started praying again for the hope for her family and her safety. And then I thought, because she's been meditating and creating a better connection with him, he kind of flipped the switch a little bit. And now she's talking with her own family in eternity. Who gets that opportunity, right? And to have them actually communicate back to you directly through an electronic appliance. It's pretty sweet if you ask me. Right? It's her story.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic story. Who would even freaking believe it, right?
So do I.
I'm just glad it wasn't like Ghostbusters and her fridge was talking to her.
Right. A couple times that we've been texting, she goes, I know I sound like I'm crazy. No.
Hence the pictures, I'm assuming.
And she actually read my book, my first book, so she's aware of all the crazy that we're used to. So,
Well, when you think about it, Father is infinite. And on one of the last few calls, we realized that our abilities are more than we can imagine, but whatever we imagine, we can do. And when we can go into eternity and do the things that we do, you know, if that's what this individual needed to be able to say, okay, this really is someone, oh, it's her, you know, how else would she know?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just interesting.
Huh. Yeah, because I'm sure if somebody came to her and said, your aunt contacted me and she wanted me to, think they're full of crap. Go ahead, Sandy.
Oh, I actually had an experience way back when I was probably late teens, early 20s. And first, my sight was first coming. You probably would remember this. But I had an experience where this should tell you how far back when it was, because I had a waterbed. And it was departed service week. And I just kept getting woken up in the middle of the night by my waterbed just shaking and shaking. And I would get up and I'm like, oh, I must be moving around too much or something. And I'd go back to sleep and I'd wake up again to my waterbed shaking. And I apparently wasn't listening. And so one night I woke up and I had an answering machine in the corner of my room and then my TV. And my answering machine went off and it just started going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And my TV kept turning on and I was using the remote trying to turn it off and I couldn't turn it off. And so I got up and actually unplugged it and it was still going. And it was only then that I saw the souls that were in my room asking for help.
Nice.
So I do think that they can use electronic devices. It's a little scary, but they can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting, Sandy, the way that you stated that, it reminded me of something that happened to me right after college. And I just talked about that this past week. And when I talked about it, I basically said that whoever I was talking with, that at that time I had all of these experiences that happened right after our dad died. And I went home and it was after college and the whole summer I spent with my brothers, David and Dwayne. And we just talked about our faith. And David was like our minister who just taught us things. And the week for the service, before the service for the departed, in that summer, something happened to me where I woke up in the morning and I was facing the wall and I felt the presence in the room. And back then we were taught all you have to do is pray in the name of God, Father. And instead of our chief apostle, I command you to leave. That's what we were taught way back then. And so my hands were like this, if you can see. I mean, there one was down, one was up. And I started bringing my hands together. And as soon as they touched, something pushed me into the bed and went, huh? And I jumped out of bed and just flew out of the room, went into David's room, and he was sleeping. And I said, David, something just hit me. And he said, what do you mean? I said, there was something in my room and I was going to pray that left and it pushed me into the bed. And he said, ah, don't worry about it. They can't hurt you. Okay. But it was interesting that I had those experiences right after college. And there were other things that happened. And then Cindy and I met, we got married, and you totally forget about those experiences. And you think to yourself, yeah, I can't imagine having those kind of experiences. It's so strange. And now look at us here.
You were crazy.
Dan, is David the one I met? The brother that I met?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
And it was amazing. He was 17 years old. And he would open the Bible and read it and say, do you know what that means? And I'd say, no. And he would explain it completely. In fact, we were together today and he was talking to me about, in Revelation where it talks about the sun and the moon, and the sun is, the real, where the light comes from, and the moon is just where it's a reflection. The sun is our faith, the New Apostolic Church. And the moon is a reflection of that and not as bright, all of the other faiths. And he said, everybody's going to be helped. Or he didn't say that. I said, well, everybody's going to be helped. And I says, yeah, but it's amazing how today our faith is, our ministers aren't helping us to understand that this is the Lord's work. To become the bride of Christ, you need the apostle ministry. And he said, why are we de-emphasizing that in our faith? And I'm sorry for the comments that I said early on, but it was right after that conversation, and I was a little bit frustrated that we are doing that. And I didn't mean to be so negative in the beginning of the meeting, but it's the truth. So.
Understandable. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. So the new format of the team meetings moving forward are going to be exactly the way we're doing them now. I am not going to host every time that every single guardian will host. So I will put a schedule together.
You're cutting out again.
Yeah, you're frozen. We can't hear you.
A little daunting, but it's not that difficult.
Can you repeat? You're cutting out again.
Yeah, we didn't hear you at all.
You're frozen now.
We'll be sitting in our kitchen.
I lost them again. Bueller.
He's probably thinking that we're doing this on purpose because we don't want to hold a meeting.
Yeah. We didn't hear a word that you said about us all hosting a meeting.
I have no idea what you said.
What are you talking about? I'm not doing that.
I didn't hear that in the meeting.
No.
Neither did I.
You know, I'll take the December meeting.
I actually didn't. We didn't hear it at all. Did you hear anything? It was totally frozen for us.
Yeah.
We moved to our kitchen.
Up to our kitchen. What's stupid is we hardwired her computer into the modem, and yet it still doesn't work.
Oh. But we can get a Wi-Fi extender. Can you get a Wi-Fi extender?
I ordered one. Yeah, but they want to charge me $75 a month, so I'm researching to just buy our own.
We bought our own.
And set it up.
You just plug it into the outlet, and it works really well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'll send you the one I got.
Did you say something about? Did you say something about you're going to hold all the meetings?
Yeah.
No.
All the meetings. No.
I said I am not going to be holding all the meetings. There's plenty of us who can share in that responsibility. And I was saying, it sounds like it might be something very daunting. It's very simple. All you got to do is pray. Oh, for crap's sake.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, we're teasing. We can hear you. We're just, when you left, we're like, what did he say?
Let him finish. We didn't hear it.
All you have to do is pray at the beginning of the meeting. And the end of the meeting, and pray the week before or month before you know you're going to be doing the meeting. It's that simple. And you let Holy Spirit take over. And if you need to drive the meeting a little bit, then you need to have your own experiences. And this is something that Father and I have been discussing for a long time. And that's why he brought it out in the notes, that if you're not being active, you're not going to have any experiences. It's just not going to happen. And I need everybody on the ball. Because like I said at the beginning of the meeting, we don't have time anymore. We really don't. And now that I'm back, I promised a couple of you that I would give you energy healings. I still will do that. So we'll have to figure out a schedule for that. I don't overwhelm myself by jumping back in and doing 10 healings at one time. But anyway, so anybody got anything else?
Welcome back.
Good to have you back.
Thank you. It's good
nice to
be back.
And we could hear you now.
Excellent.
Yeah, and we're not hardwired in anymore. And we're sitting in our kitchen, which is
good.
Yeah, so we'll be sitting in our kitchen from now on.
Yeah. Find a little bit better router, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to go over August birthdays because I want to be able to share that with you. And Fred, happy birthday on the 1st. Quasar's birthday was the 8th. Happy birthday. Starlight and Aerostar celebrate on the 26th, and Lauren Potoff celebrates on the 30th. September, there's no birthdays. October, there's no birthdays, but happy birthday to Atmos in December.
He said he wants to hold that meeting.
Yeah, he said he wanted
the meeting that none of us will be on.
Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. I love all of you. Let's pray. Father, it's a joyful time that we can spend time with each other, share our experiences, and increase our understanding of each other and how crazy this world is. But to us, it seems perfectly normal. You see the hearts of our fellow guardians that are here and the ones that are not on the call. We miss them. We pray for them that you will spark their hearts to join us. And even though they weren't on the call, that you will connect their hearts, that they know that they can still listen to the recording and be a part of it. See the hearts that are here. Eternity has been surrounding us, and we pray for all of them. They are always welcome to our meetings. And we're thankful, Father, for your blessings. Sometimes we think that we're not getting enough. But, Father, if we were to stop for a moment and look and see all that we have, it would overwhelm us that we have everything we need. And we don't need to be afraid of the future. We don't have to concern ourselves with this natural life because Jesus even said, you feed the birds. They don't need to worry about where they get their meal, and neither do we. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. We pray for our leadership in the church and all the brothers and sisters who serve us. We pray for your understanding to open their hearts, that they don't get in the way of the word anymore, and that, Father, your children can be fed. We will stand alongside with them. We will help where we can, and we will do what we can, Father, to do the best to help bring your plan to a close. And we look forward to that day when Jesus comes. According to what we pray and in your name, please hear us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you too.